Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1712, air date August 24th, 2026.
Dr. Shiva, there he is. Dr. Shiva, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How's everything?
Great to see you. You're my favorite guest. I tell everybody for the last 5 years that when I had you on, I tell everybody, Dr. Shiva, I did not know what you were talking about. You put out a video long ago talking about Zionism. I didn't know what you were even talking about. I had heard the word Zionism. For me, what Zionism meant was that you thought Israel had the right to exist, and that was it. That's what Zionism meant. And you said, no. You started to explain it to me. I got on the radio, and I started really paying attention to the news. I mean, at a really high level, where you're 8 to 10 hours a day going through social media, watching how Fox News does news presentations, watching how CNN does it. And I started to recognize that you were right. And it's never been more evident that the guy who told me originally that Zionist ideology was running not only this country, but probably the world, you were right on the money. The first one to tell me that. And I've been a fan of yours ever since. I watch you. You and I were talking about on the phone the other day, and we got plenty of time. Got an hour and a half with you if you want it. So you get as much time as you want. And we're going to try and organize together, right? We're going to organize your group with my group. We'll bring people in. I get suppressed just like you do, so it's a little harder effort to get it done on social media. But you said, Rob, anybody who's trying to organize, that's when you get yourself into a little bit of trouble. If you want to be a mouthpiece like Tucker Carlson, if you want to be a mouthpiece like some of these people on social media that get these big audiences, they let you do it. So long as you're not trying to organize anybody, that's when things start to change. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think the discussion we had was that, you know, my entire life has been trying to figure out how you end these systems of oppression, Rob. So it's not theoretical for me, because having grown up in the Indian caste system, which is really a, you see, Zionism is part at the core of Zionism, and Zionism manifests itself in other isms throughout the world. So Zionism's fundamental view is that a small set of people have the authority and the right to rule over everyone else. And they have that authority because they're so much smarter or better for some manufactured reason. So in the West, starting with Theodore Herzl, that was known as Zionism. In ancient India, that was known as Brahmanism, right? You've had other manifestations of it, Nazism, right? But this whole concept of, and it's always linked to taking some political ideology and mixing it with some religious philosophy, you see? And putting those together is typically done to emotionally move people. So that's like the core of it. And it's a way of ultimately these ways are a way of mentally justifying exploitation of a small set of people over other people. And then you pound away at this through propaganda. So you're basically manipulating people to say that it's okay to be exploited. Does that make sense? So that's where this comes from. And it's sort of well organized. So whoever wants to stay in power. So hold on one sec.
dog lovers are fine on our show.
So what happens is that, I mean, imagine if you are a king with one or two of you guys who are ruling over 10,000 people. All right. Just if you could just imagine that you have your castle, your moat. Your biggest concern is the fact that one day you may be overthrown. Right? Like, you know that you have all this ill-gotten wealth, and how do you protect yourself? Well, one way is physical protection, right? You build the moat, you build physical infrastructure, weapons, you pay soldiers, mercenaries. The other much more powerful one is you have to create an ideology, brainwash people to justify the concept that you are a peasant, and you live outside of the castle, and you should be happy you live outside of that castle, okay? And that your lot in life is the way it should be, and thank God you have that, right? So the religious systems did this in many, many different ways. So Hinduism, for example, had this very core, beautiful set of ideas, right? But Brahmanism said, okay, your lot in life is to be a toilet cleaner for the rest of your life. That was a caste job. Or pick coconuts. That was another job. And by doing that, you are burning off your karma from some sins from your past life. It's all just made up bullshit, okay? And then they created beautiful songs and beautiful poetry, all the propaganda to make people feel good as they were getting screwed. Mm-hmm. So every religion has sort of this beautiful core. And then when those in power, the few who are trying to keep all their wealth, you know, inside their moat, took these very powerful philosophies and they created an elitist model of those philosophies to justify oppression. You know, you have the Catholic Church, these guys wearing these robes and stuff and living in the Vatican, living very large, and then telling the rest of them, you know, Jesus died for your sins and therefore, you know, give some communion and all this stuff and you should all be happy. But we get to live over here, which would be a life that Jesus would never have supported. And somehow this is brainwashed to people, and you have all these Catholics supporting that, just like you have these Hindus supporting the priesthood. Zionism was another manifestation of that, taking, you know, Old Testament stuff and then imbuing it with the concept of a political ideology. And this is what goes on, but it's a way of convincing a large number of people that the few should rule over you. That's sort of the core systems dynamics of this, Rob. So what we teach at Truth, Freedom, Health, and a lot of what my goal is, if you want to liberate people, you have to understand the processes that are involved to do that. And that's been a lifelong study. No different, Rob, than if you want to understand how do you build an airplane. I mean, you know, my background is in engineering. But in engineering, if you want to build an airplane, get it off the ground and fly, you can't just sort of think that and will that or be a podcaster. You see what I'm saying? Talking about how to do that. You have to actually go figure out how to do that. So you wouldn't just say, well, birds are flying. Let's do a podcast on birds, or let's talk about the wind. You know, if you want to build this vehicle, you have to go do a series of things. You have to understand what it takes to do that. What are the engineering science? What it would take to build that? How would you bring people together to, you know, let's say you wanted to create the airplane industry, all that, right? It's a very complex system. No different than if you wanted to create a world where you wanted to create, you know, a healthcare system or an energy system. These are complex engineering systems problems. So when it comes to changing the world, how do you do that? Well, the people who've been involved, who've monopolized that activity, have been philosophers, lawyers, religious people. And my life, you know, in addition to the other engineering areas that I enjoy doing and contributions that I've made, has been taking the same systems approach, engineering systems approach to that. And what you find out is any technology, any innovation always starts from understanding some physical process, and then you create technology to be able to scale that. So I'll give you an example. So many of us use spreadsheets, right? Like Excel or, well, that technology is a reflection of a physical business process when people used to have paper ledgers, right? For doing accounting. And then we created the spreadsheet, which was a electronic manifestation of that. And once you did that, anyone could become an accountant. Before, another example is if you take something like publishing, right? Creating a flyer or a brochure or an ad. Well, historically, you may remember this, right? You had a big drafting pad,
right?
Paper. You would have to make your own fonts. And I remember these days, and you would have to do this by hand. And then one day, a company called Apple put this product called Publisher, right? On the Mac. And so you could do this through a technology, but you were literally emulating a physical process. And overnight, I mean, forget how good they were, but overnight, anyone could be a graphic designer. Similarly, when I created email, email was a physical process. It wasn't the simple exchange of text messages. It was a very complex process where a secretary would sit at a computer. She had the inbox, the outbox of folders, right? I took that and made it the electronic version. But you were taking us, there was a scientific process there. Now think about what it takes to change the world. is it Tucker Carlson? Excuse my language. Tucker Carlson just.
We're on a podcast now. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Is it just him saying shit, making his faces, which is all very, very artificial? And if you really look at him, he has no interest in changing the world. He has an interest in accumulating wealth for himself and getting views and clicks. There's some very interesting analysis done from first he was at CNN, then he goes to Fox, then he supposedly lost a lot of money from Fox, goes to TCN. By the way, he's being funded by the same Iranian billionaire who funds J.D. Vance. But his entire trajectory has nothing to do with changing the world. And if you think he's changing the world, and if you think he's being of service, oh, he says some good stuff, that entire thinking process comes from an absolutely mistaken view of what it takes to change the world. So my life has been, in addition to understanding these other processes and innovating, what does it actually take to change the world at a fundamental level? What does it take to liberate yourself, which is a business problem that people have been trying to figure out since they were slaves in chains? And I've cracked the code on that problem. And that involves three fundamental components coming together, no different than email involves inbox, outbox, folders. You need these fundamental things, right? An airplane needs some fundamental processes, right? Well, those processes are three things. A, throughout the history of humankind, where people have been trying to liberate themselves from oppression, the slaves have been trying to figure out, like, how do you do that? Well, there have been different theories, capital T, not lowercase t. There was a theory of John Locke and the classical liberals. Well, we live in this society. This is a theory. This is a theoretical framework. And ultimately, government is formed as a social contract. We're one big kumbaya. And, you know, ultimately, we all want to work together, et cetera. That's one theory, right? And that resulted in what you call today modern bourgeois democracy. And other theories developed. I'm trying to really understand it. The theory of fascism was that a central group should actually rule over a large number of people. Anti-democratic, but again, a view of how the world should operate. But there's been, throughout this process, philosophers typically are the ones who monopolize this discourse on the theoretical framework of how society should be organized. But the reality is these are ideas in people's heads. They're not the reality of how the world operates. The world operates on systems principles. And there are fundamental principles that the world operates on. And those principles are invariant. The same principles that operate in that leaf outside my window to the same systems principles operate inside your body, operate in galaxies, etc. Those principles are in engineering system science, Rob, which were really discovered, you know, probably in the late 1920s in modern science and in the 1950s. Those principles were understood thousands of years ago in Indian systems of medicine. So I was able to bridge these two worlds. And what I recognized was there are these nine principles that you learn in MIT in engineering control systems. They use a set of languages, terms that are also were used, you know, 10,000 years ago. These engineering principles govern the laws of how everything in the universe operates. Now, I used to teach that at MIT, but I could teach that to anyone. Once you understand those principles, you actually have a theoretical framework, the slaves, on how this whole system operates. It's not based on John Locke. It's not based on Karl Marx. It's not based on Mussolini's, you know, advisor. It's based because these are just ideas that people made up out of their head. These are based on actual fundamental laws where the rubber meets the road. And those engineering principles are invariant. So you have to have an understanding of that if you're actually going to go change this world. Now, the elites actually know these engineering principles. And that is why a few set of people, you have to really wonder, why is it like 100,000 people are able to manipulate 8 billion people? This is the first thing slaves need to ask. How is it they are able to manipulate me? And that is because they understand engineering control systems principles. When you go to MIT or Harvard or these institutions, or the Kennedy, you learn these principles. But you're not using those principles to advance human life. You're using that. Ultimately, you join major government organizations and you use those engineering principles to manipulate people. Those principles are 9 principles about how you can observe how a system operates. You can manipulate the goal of that system, one of the features of the 9. You can look at the sensors, data that you're getting, and then how you can manipulate inputs to manipulate the force of transport conversion storage. I'm not going to, you know, we teach all of this at Truth Freedom Health, but throughout history, it's typically been one hero emerges, a Malcolm X or some fighter, and then they get knocked off and they become martyrs because they sort of came to certain conclusions, but they couldn't replicate it. You see? It's like you built the first airplane, but you don't know how to build another airplane again. But when you understand engineering systems principles, you really understand how this world operates, number one. So you need to have the right theory. Number two, to change the world, you need to have a community of people, organizational structure. It's not just going to poof happen because an opportunist like Thomas Massie suddenly decides that he's now anti-Zionist and he didn't say shit for 20 years, 30 years suddenly, and therefore he becomes the new hero that everyone's followed, or Marjorie Taylor Greene or Bernie Sanders, etc. These people are just grifters who are just latching on to some trend that they're seeing to manipulate people to stay part of the swarm. But ultimately, the notion of changing the world comes to building a community of people who understand this theoretical framework. And you have to have a core set of people understand this, want to dedicate themselves to understanding it. They educate others and they raise people's consciousness. That's a community. And then the third thing you need is action. What's the purpose of that action? Well, in my view, ultimately, all of this changes when you raise people's consciousness to understanding and self-reflect on how this their system of oppression works. Action is prescribed, no different than a good doctor prescribing the right medicine. Action is prescribed to a student so they have an experience so they can raise their consciousness. I'll give you a very practical example. When people come to our movement, we tell them to go hand out flyers. Now, why do we tell them to do that? Because the existing system has brainwashed people to think that changing the world comes from Tucker Carlson or some podcaster, Joe Rogan. They don't want people to go into the world, put down their phones and all this shit, have a conversation with a stranger, another human being. They don't want people to engage with the world. They want people to do podcasts thinking they're changing the world. But when you go out and you put yourself out there and it's shy and nervous and you're handing out a flyer, you have to get over your nervousness. Out of 1,000 people that pass by, 2 people may pick it up and now you have a conversation with them. All right. And that conversation now is connected to another human being. You do that over and over again. And now you understand that you can actually go affect someone's life with a simple 1 cent piece of paper. All right. That is an action. Another thing is you can educate people through a series of actions, how that action starts creating an emerging pattern that you can have an effect on other people. Okay. So you, in order to really liberate the world, just like in any other framework, you need certain, you know, components, right? If you're going to create a PowerPoint presentation, if you're going to create a presentation, you need to have fonts and you need to have a canvas and you need to have the ability to change colors. Well, if you're going to change the world, you need theory, community, and action. Theory, community, and action. These are fundamental pillars. Now, people who haven't actually ever built anything in their lives, don't have a trade school, a trade or an engineering experience, they really don't understand this because they've never done the work. Anyone who, you know, does plumbing or engineering or an electrician knows that you can't just go and start wiring shit around the house. You need to understand voltage and amps and resistance. You need to understand the physics of things. Yet people think that Tucker Carlson, I want to use him as an example, or Joe Rogan are changing the world. These people aren't doing anything. They're self-serving people who are created by your oppressor to just talk shit about shit that people like me are actually doing long after, and but they never talk about it when the events are taking place because it would help change the world. They come as Monday night quarterbacks, if that. They delay truth. You know, Tucker Carlson talking about 9/11 now, and suddenly he's against Israel. Well, really? It took him this long? No. Or Candace Owens. All these people are opportunists. They will never get their hands dirty and do the work it takes to actually change the world, which is you need to understand the theoretical framework. You need to build a community organizational structure, which takes effort. And you need to get on the ground and take actual concrete actions. Okay? Unless that is done, nothing happens. It's just pure bullshit. But people get so brainwashed into thinking I'm changing the world by doing a podcast. That's on the naive side. But on the much more deliberate side, the establishment is very clever. They know that human beings operate on three levels of intelligence. They know this. They've done the work. On the basis level of laziness, the seven deadly sins, not wanting to do shit, thinking someone else is going to do it. And the religious structure supports that. Jesus died for your sins. That's bullshit. Complete lack of personal responsibility. I don't think Jesus ever said that. Or the Hindu thing, right? Don't worry, you know, just do your lot in life. This is your karma. So they create these philosophy to brainwash people to maintain in the lowest level of intelligence, which is called instinctive intelligence. The next level above that is intellectual intelligence, right? Where you learn how to manipulate numbers or write lawsuits, right? Be rational, play chess. But the highest form of intelligence is intuition, wisdom. They don't want people ever to go to that level. So they keep people at this very base level of intelligence. And this is done through distractions. And that distraction is making sure that the masses, all those peasants outside the moat, never break the walls by continually never teaching them theory of how the world actually operates, never making sure that they build community, never make sure they actually take action. By making sure they watch UFC fights, they get distracted by complete opportunist politicians and, you know, media personalities. And that is how they contain people. And part of this containment, as we teach in our movement, is the obvious establishment, which are your obvious oppressors. In some ways, those guys are actually straightforward. I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to, you know, do this to you, right? But the not so obvious establishment is how the establishment succeeds. So in the United States, you have the Democrats and Republicans, the obvious, let's say, wings of them, the Lindsey Grahams or the Clintons, the obvious versions. But then you have the not so obvious versions. And this is where, without understanding the physics, every 5 years people say, oh my God, Thomas Massie, I'm going to follow him. He's anti-Zionist. Isn't he getting persecuted? Oh my God, Bernie Sanders, he's the fighter against the establishment. Or, and you go back, okay? So the establishment thrives on creating the not so obvious establishment. You have to wonder if these people are truly anti-establishment, why are they getting airtime?
I agree. Okay. Why I agree. See the same thing. Yep, right? I see the same thing.
And if you're dumb enough to think Thomas Massie is not an opportunist, this goes down to you didn't understand theory. No different than a person thinking he's an electrician and sticking their hands in a plug, okay? Because they just saw someone else do that, okay? But they didn't understand maybe he only put one finger and the other was grounded. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to politics, the only way the slaves are going to get off is by theory, community, and action. And that's the framework that, and you can't do this overnight. So the movement is built. The infrastructure is built. And that's Truth, Freedom, Health. No different than when I built email. No different than when I built Cytosol. It is an innovation. It is a platform. It is technology. It's software. It's community. That is the only way we're going to liberate the world. So it's not going to happen through MAGA. It's not going to happen through suddenly awakening themselves even to be anti-Zionist. Okay? And remember, right when I I mean, I've been fighting Zionism for 40 years. When I did that one video, I'm the only candidate who does not suck Zionist cock. If you remember that, it went viral. Yep. And then suddenly Dan Bilzerian, suddenly Jake Shields, suddenly everyone's anti-Zionist, including Candace fucking Owen, who's an opportunist. The biggest thing that you can understand is in engineering or any field of engineering, there's called signal-to-noise ratio. Okay? The actual signal, you can graph it, and the noise. The establishment never wants you to see the actual signal. So they create a lot of noise. And that noise is to distract you away from actually figuring out the physics of building a movement. And the word movement has also been plagiarized, because they use the word movement to mean, come to my site, subscribe to me, watch my videos.
Right.
That's not a fucking movement, all right? A movement must have the right theory, an organizational structure, and action. That's what 50 years later, that's what we've created. We have a global organization, all working people from throughout the world, 130 different languages. Those people have to go through a disciplined process, right? Don't talk to me about all sorts of shit. Did you study the physics of system science? If you didn't, you don't know what you're talking about. You're a babe in the woods. Just like a good teacher would say, you're going to try to build an airplane and you didn't even understand Bernoulli's principle. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Shut the fuck up and learn this first. So we're not doing that. Everyone with a microphone overnight, great, you can have an opinion, First Amendment, but it doesn't mean you know what the fuck you're talking about when it comes to changing the world. So you have to start with understanding the system's dynamics. Let me tell you, Peter Thiel and the elites, they understand this. That's why they graduate people out of MIT and Harvard and they join them, because they understand the concept of a goal, the concept of sensors, the concepts of a controller, the concept of input, output, transport, conversion, storage, signal to noise ratio. So the elites, using that systems framework, they manipulate people to never build a true movement. I'll give you an example. I wrote this book just now, a couple of months ago, called Deportation Theater. Notice every election cycle, what's a big issue they bring up, Rob? Immigration. Immigration, yeah. Whether it was Obama, whether it was Clinton, immigration. All right. Now, I'll show you how they apply system science to manipulate you. Well, when you look at the numbers, take it, there's 14 million illegal immigrants in the United States, 14 million. Rob, what percentage of those immigrants do you think are deported every year?
1%.
3.7% maximum.
Max.
Okay. So over the last 30 years, since immigration has been front and center on every, you know, presidential issue, only 3.7% of illegal immigrants have ever been deported. And guess who was the number one deporter of illegal immigrants?
Obama.
Obama. He was called deporter in chief. Okay. So what's going on? So now I'm going to put my hat on, and this is what, as an engineering systems guy who actually wants to change the world and can see through the bullshit and what's actually going on. But without this knowledge, the system's dynamics, you won't be able to see it. So in engineering principles, quick version of it is, you have a goal, all right? And you can think about your thermostat. Your thermostat has a goal, which is, let's say you set it to 72 degrees, or a autopilot in an airplane has a goal, fly at 40,000 feet in this direction, right? Now, that's the goal that's set. In order to achieve that goal, that heading or that temperature, what happens? Inside your thermostat is something called a thermometer, right? It is actually measuring the actual ambient temperature. Okay, you want to set it to 68, Rob. The temperature is 72. Or you want to go on north heading and you're slightly going south, right? A compass tells you that. So what do those systems do? So two principles I just gave you, the goal and the sensors, two of the nine principles. So a decision is made by a controller. Your air conditioning systems have it, or your HVAC systems, or the autopilot. It says, okay, I want to head in this direction, which is the actual goal, and I'm actually at this location, the actual output, what my sensor is saying. So I need to, if it's 72 and I want to get to 68, I'm going to have to send what? More cold air into the vents, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Freon is cycled. You cool the coils, you blow air, and you start getting cool, right? So what did you just do? The controller, which is third of these nine elements, made a decision to send an input, the fourth of the nine elements. The input is Freon and airflow, and that transported more air, which is another one of the nine elements. The Freon converted cold air, warm air to cold. And all of this is occurring in a refrigerant, a storage, a structure. So I just gave you all the, right, this, eight of the nine principles. And suddenly your temperature starts dropping from 72 to 68, okay? And in the middle of this, a disturbance could come, which is a ninth element, which means someone opens up your front door, right? And then when a disturbance comes, your system has to adjust to that. This occurs in every complex intelligent system. So go back to immigration. You can apply, and the elites do this. So they recognize what is our goal with these people, right? Go back to the analogy I gave you, Rob. What's the goal? To keep making sure the masses don't breach the moat, right?
Right.
So how do they do that? They have to make sure the masses never figure out that the real oppressor is the guy living in the castle, right? Who's fucking them over. So why is immigration such a powerful input they can put into their system? Because their goal is to divide the masses so they don't overthrow them, right? So they input the controllers, watch which way the mass are brewing. Hey, wait a minute, blacks and whites and legal and immigrant workers are coming together and they may fuck us over. So I'm going to put an input into the system, which is to divide workers. So what do? The billionaire class looks out and they say, okay, my billions, whether I'm red or blue, is being made through exploited labor. 14 million illegal immigrants in the United States. Consider the so-called red states, which always talk about the illegals, Texas and Florida, call it Texas, Florida. There's close to 200 billionaires in those two states, Rob. And by the way, in the big blue state of California, there's 199 billionaires. So it's almost the same. And everyone will say, oh my God, Florida's letting in illegals, right? That's what we're taught to believe. The blue state, it loves illegals. And the red states, they're fighting them. Well, it's actually all bullshit when you look at the actual reality. So Texas and Florida combined, Texas, Florida, has 200 billionaires. California has 199 billionaires. Combine those, half of the billionaires in the United States. Well, both billionaire classes rely on illegal immigrant labor.
Well, yeah.
40% of Texas construction relies on illegal immigrant labor through subcontractors. Elon fucking Musk talks a big fucking game. All of his subcontractors hire illegal immigrants.
That's right.
Same with Bezos. So all of Texas construction runs on illegal immigrant labor, yet you got all these people, these red state, talking against, you know, we got to get rid of these illegals. Go to Ron DeSantis's Florida. 60% of all the hospitality is run by illegal immigrants, right? Disneyland would crash.
Do you remember, Dr. Sheba, real fast, Donald Trump was going to get rid of all illegal immigrants. That's what he ran on. He gets elected, and he comes out and he gives a press conference where he says, except for hospitality and agriculture,
which is 60%.
Exactly.
And 80% of California farming labor runs on illegal immigrants.
I've seen it.
Who owns all of this? Billionaires. So the billionaire trillionaire class is making trillions off illegal immigrants. So what they do is, and this is, I want everyone to listen to this carefully, how control system theory works. So what they do is they say, fuck, we got all these illegals. We don't want the illegal immigrants ever uniting with the poor whites. So this is what I call white on white crime. So the rich white billionaires, predominantly rich white billionaires in the United States, what they do every election cycle, Rob, they drum up immigration as the issue, right? And they find, you know, each candidate, red or blue, always talk about immigration, right? And Why are they doing this? Well, the illegal immigrant labor, the 14 million, will work for, let's say, $5 an hour, right? In horrible conditions. That's good for them. That's where they get all their profits. They don't want those profits to be diminished. So what they do is they make immigration the issue. So, and the goal of immigration is to keep wages low of the poor white worker and the poor brown illegal worker. And how do they do that? So they say, yes, we got to get rid of these illegals, border. So what they do is they deport maximum 3.7%. You see, that's the input they send into the system. What does that input do? It gets all the 14 million scared. You got what I'm saying, Rob?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And so that 14 million illegal immigrant labor will never fight for their rights. They will never, they will accept any labor. So they'll keep their wage at $5. The white worker says, oh, that's good. We got to get rid of these illegals, right? Goddamn illegals, right? Well, their wages should actually be $100 an hour, but they're happy to get $8 an hour. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
So what they're doing is suppressing the wages, and by deporting just enough, Rob, 3.7%. Well, if you're going to fucking care about the American workers, deport all of them, Ron DeSantis, you fucking liar. You're bullshitting. Or Ken Paxton, whoever you are in Texas, right? And the Democrats and the Republicans profit from this because the sanctuary cities are actually helping both wings of the establishment. You see what I'm saying?
How does that work with the sanctuary cities? Is it just because it's low-cost labor?
Well, what they're doing is they've agreed in the back room, they're only going to deport 3.7% max, right? So that may, so, and they make, and Obama did it very quietly. He was like the quiet manager. Trump, the only difference between Obama and Trump did it more theatrically with ICE, guys walking around like they're Nazis. And they go to fucking Minnesota. Minnesota only has 96,000 illegal immigrants. Okay? California, and Texas, and Florida have close to 4 million. Why didn't you send ICE into Florida? Why didn't you raid all of Disneyland? Why didn't you raid Mar-a-Lago? They go to a small, relatively small area. And what you do is you hype up the Somalis, right? Every generation, by the way, this is the other part of it. And where did, by the way, quick aside, in 1676, there was something called Bacon's Rebellion.
Yeah.
So there was the white rich settlers. I mean, the white rich elites who came and colonized the United States. Well, remember, how did they do that? They needed poor white settlers. And there were also the indigenous tribes and the slaves, right? So what was interesting was the poor black slaves and the white settlers united, and they started overthrowing the rich white landlords, sent the fear of God into them. It was called Bacon's Rebellion. You can look it up.
I remember.
Yeah. And so that's when the British said, holy shit, we can never have these people coming together. Right? They don't want the peasants coming together, breaching the moat. We're going to create something called racism. Racism was created. Okay? Racism was manufactured to always make sure one group was against another. And by the way, they go to the basis form of intel. Look at those blacks, right? Oh my God, they're animals, right? Whatever characterization. After they went through that, then they did it to the Irish, right? The Irish, oh my God, they're drunk and they're this. Then the Germans, then the Chinese. Because viscerally, you know, we have the primal instinct, we see differences. So you can go down to that very base form of human emotion. And then you go and find Somalis. They look differently. Oh my God, they're robbing this, robbing that. Forget the fact that the billionaires are robbing you blind. So it's always someone you target to make sure the working class, where they're legal, illegal, never unites, Rob. And yes. you deport just enough. And you make it very dramatic. And so the white worker, just like the white settlers, felt better because they got a little better treatment. So you're giving one group gets an inch, the other one gets an inch and 0.002. And they go, oh, I'm better because I got 0.002 more. You see? Yes. So this is engineered. So if you are white and you think you're better than the Somalis, or you're Chinese and you think you're better than the Irish, this is fucked up. This is totally fucking manipulating you. So this is control system. So they're watching the plane. They're watching the thermostat. The thermostat hears, are the masses figuring my shit out? Holy shit. There's high inflation. People can't afford homes. We're going to send all your poor people to fight. Oh, they're starting to figure shit out. Oops, let's inject 3% immigration input. Make it big. Oh, okay. The white workers are feeling good, right? That we're taking care of all these brown people. Get out of our country. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's all control systems. You're keeping the thermostat. So if you watch your thermostat out works in your house, it's making slight adjustments, right? Every minute. No different than an airplane is making slight adjustments. 2% deportation, 3%. And that input manipulates people, the masses, to think that they are better in this case, and we're separated from everyone else. So this is a deliberate way that you can use control systems engineering.
How do you unwind the conditioning? Because we talk about it a lot on the show, Doctor. How do you get people? Because what I find is you can't have logical conversations with a lot of people. You start explaining to them, you start off very calm, and you're like, well, what about this? You know, you kind of walk them through what you see happening, which is very logical. Isaiah and I talk about it all the time. You know, logic and ration seems to be gone. And you can see it in their eyes that they're so conditioned into a thought process. Like when you say we're being manipulated against illegal immigration, I 100% agree with you. And I live in Florida, and I've seen it. I've seen busloads of what appear to me to be not Americans dropped off on the side of the highways. I've witnessed it myself, so I know that it's happening. How do you get people to unwind the years and decades of propaganda and conditioning? What is the process to just go one person at a time and draw their mind away from what they think that they know? Is it just routine? Is it repetition? I mean, how do you get these people to come back into some sort of a conversation so you can break them away from what they think they know?
Well, Rob, we got to go back to engineering principles, okay? The questions that you're asking are predicated on thinking we have to go down to the lowest common denominator to change things. If you really look at from a physics standpoint, right, you can't really convince anyone of anything. All right? Everyone's at different states of consciousness and evolving at different rates. And that is a direct function of the experiences that they have had. Let me repeat these three words: action, experience, consciousness. The actions that you take in life affect your experience. Those experiences have a direct effect on your consciousness. Okay? If you just were taught to just grown up in a very wealthy family, and you can just sit around, you never have to work, you just get everything fed to you, the experience that you have is the world exists for me. Your level of consciousness is one of Jared fucking Kushner or Ivanka Trump. Okay? You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If your other, you grew up in a world where you're taught by your great grandparents, look, you reap what you sow. I was brought up a slave and indentured servant. But if you work hard, you know, you take personal responsibility, you can make something of yourself. So that thing attributes you to go mow lawns, right? Start working hard. You know, go get a job at a small medical college. Create email when you're young. And that motivates you to have a state of consciousness. Wow. If you understand the world it is, you understand and you work hard, you can achieve this. You see, personal responsibility. So action, experience, consciousness. Now, everyone, the 8 billion of us, are on different levels of consciousness based on what actions you've taken, what experiences you had, and what state of consciousness you are. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if you're trying to build a movement among the masses of people, particularly hardworking people, so you have the segment of 8 billion. Well, there's one segment, which are the lumpen proletariat, if you want to talk about people who don't want to work, they're criminals, right? They think the way you do it is you scam the system, right? Well, very low consciousness. Then among the other people who actually get up and work, there are various states of consciousness. Some people have just accepted the way the world it is. Jesus is going to come to save me. Rama is going to descend from the heavens one day, right? Whatever, right? So they're at that state of consciousness. They accept their lot in life. Then you get another set of people who say, well, you know what? I look at this world and it sucks and I want to do something about it. Okay. Among those people, there are people who think voting for a Democrat or voting for Republican is going to do it. And then another set of people saying, no, Thomas Massie is our guy or Bernie Sanders. A little more evolved, but they're still caught in that. They haven't figured out the NSOEs, you see, the not so obvious establishment. And then you find people who've looked at this and, hey, none of this shit is working. I really want to understand how the world operates. And they come across our movement. And what do we teach them? We say, look, at the core of it, the world has always changed through the raising of consciousness, bottoms up, people taking action, and you have to have the right theory. And then among that, you get even another set of people who really get these concepts. So it's a concentric circle strategy, right? You have a limited amount of time, Rob. And the shit that we're seeing around us didn't happen overnight, right? Like if your house is a fucking pigsty and it's falling apart and it's a mess, did that happen overnight, Rob?
Right.
It happened because of not maintaining it. You know, no one in the home was taught how to do proper hygiene, right? Clean, right? A whole bunch of shit. So if you're living in a very large house with a lot of people and you want everyone to help, well, one method is fascism. One person takes control, kicks everyone, shoots everyone, right? And you get a clean house, China, okay? But it may look cool, but you're being surveilled, right? It's a very different world. You see what I'm saying? So you have to decide what kind of world you want. So if you want a democratic event, we're still based on choice, the Bill of Rights, you're caught in a conundrum, right? In that world, the opportunity is you use the platform of speech that you have in whatever way you can do, and you're trying to find a core set of people. Not anyone you have to, they're on that journey and they're looking for the real answer, Rob, like where you're at. Okay. Like that's why we talked yesterday. Like how do you actually change this? I've tried this. I've tried that. I've realized Tucker Carlson's full of shit. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So those people are actually ready to study. Okay. It's a guy saying, I tried to build this airplane. I tried to build, fuck, it didn't work. Oh, now you're ready to go to MIT for the aeronautics school. You see what I'm saying? We're going to teach you how to build that. But you did all this, so you're really going to be a good student. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. But I think we want to change things. I think the people associated with the show, my organization in Missouri, we actually do want to change things. We will do the work. The people that I'm associated with work tirelessly to get more people involved in what we're doing. It's just very difficult. You know, it's a process. Like you said, you told me the other day, you said, this is not an overnight thing. This is a long journey, but you got to just build one step, one block at a time. And that's what I'm starting to notice. There's no quick fix to this. This is a long journey. Right.
But when you come to that journey, you want to be on the path that actually gets you to that solution.
Right. You don't want to go down the wrong road.
Right. You don't want to go down the wrong road. So if you look at the history of humankind, I've looked at all of these paths. Okay. And you finally come, you have to have theory, community, and action. Okay. But coming to that real, like, so the people come to our movement were people who tried Bernie Sanders. Okay. And they realized that he was full of shit the day that he endorsed Hillary Clinton. You see what I'm saying? Or yes. People who tried Jesse Jackson. So they've realized, wait a minute, I'm almost getting it, but I'm not getting it, right? So by the time they come to our movement, they are humbled and want to actually learn. So in that framework, when the student comes, you can actually teach them. And we say, look, let's go to the base level of understanding. What we're talking about is a system. It's called a political system. How do systems operate? Forget politics. Now, that knowledge, Rob, has been restricted to maybe 10,000 people on this planet. The knowledge of systems is not taught to everyone. It is really the secret science. It is, and the people who learn that use it to manipulate the masses.
It wasn't okay? From the spaceships that landed and were re-engineering them?
No. Well, even if that is being done, they're using system science, okay? They have advanced control systems theory. My point is, without understanding the core knowledge, you're sort of screwed. So we start people there, okay? Well, why am I studying this? Well, just shut the fuck up and study it, wax on, wax off, okay? Like, you just have to, at a certain point, when I played soccer or baseball, you just listen to the coach. How do you throw that ball, right? Right. You just have to have, at a certain point, respect to an engineering physics. So we start people understanding systems. Those people want to learn. And in the context of that, we reveal to people one of the most important aspects of system science, which is self-organizing systems, emergent properties, okay? Systems in the universe emerge out of a set of actions, not any one action. And it's called an emergent property. So what that reveals is that when you take a pond, which is absolutely quiet, and if you drop one pebble here, it'll create a small wave, another pebble here. But if you create enough pebbles at the same time, it'll create a standing wave. But you don't need a million pebbles. You may only need 50 pebbles, and you can get a standing wave. That is a self-organizing system. Okay? So without understanding this concept, people will not understand how to change the world. This is physics. The elites understand this. This is why they hit you with Fucker Carlson here. They hit you with Candace Owens. They give you a little bit of Tom Massey. They give you these people to keep you on their fucking plantation, to thinking these people are going to do something, right? Because they're all saying the right things, you see? So they know how to vibrate a system by injecting just enough noise. Now, that same concept can be used to recognize, I have a limited amount of time. I don't want to fucking argue if I'm handing out flyers. 10 people pass by them arguing to me why Bernie Sanders is great. Fuck off. I don't have time to argue with you. But there will be one person who says, you know, Dr. Shiva, I really want to learn. I tried this. Great. I'm willing to spend my time with you. So you have to be very wise. There are three kinds of people, Rob. They're the people who are the resistors. Anything you say to them, they'll always be naysayers. If you run a small organization or a startup, you have 10 people. One guy's always fucking you over.
Right.
He's a bad sales guy, you know? He could destroy all the other 9 people.
Right.
Then you have other people, which are, so that's about 30% of an organization. The other 50% are watching which way the wind blows. And then you have 20% who are the change agents, who are ready to do stuff. They want to learn, right? They're willing to explore, very entrepreneurial, right? Go-getters, they'll do what it takes. What unfortunately happens, the 20% who want to actually do something, they spend 80% of their time trying to convince the resistors. You got to eliminate the resistors. Don't even waste your time with them. You want to wear a mask? Here's 5 masks. Fuck you, I'm not going to try to convince you. You want to get vaccine? Here's 10. But you will find people. So you build the core 20%. This is organizational systems theory. Okay? The biggest and people do this in family, personal relationships. They're in a relationship. They're trying to change someone. Okay? You see?
Yes.
You can't change anyone. You really can't change anyone. It's a hard reality. So we're saying we want to change the world. What we're really saying is we want to find those people already on the path to understanding change and want to mobilize them, okay, into the right framework. And once you do that, you have an explosive effect, like creating an atom bomb or hydrogen bomb with fusion. So that strategy needs to be clear. And again, everything I'm teaching is what we teach people, okay? There's a lot more. But you have to have the right theory, the right community, and the right action.
Well, it's brilliant. I got to tell you, when you say that, I've experienced all of this. Everything you explained, I experienced. Isaiah, the producer of the show, he's run sales organizations. I have too. And when you described how people are, that's exactly it. There are certain people that resist everything you do. There are people that just want to go wherever the power is going to go. So they're just kind of monitoring wherever the power is going to go. They want to attach to that. And then there are people that say, okay, I'm going to take the bull by the horns. We're going to make this work. Just tell me what I need to do and I'll go out and we'll get it done. And then I'll observe whether it's working or not. It's exactly how it works.
Right.
Yeah. It's the 80% rule. I think they say 20% of the people do 80% of the work in any organization.
Right. And the 20%, unfortunately, Isaiah and Rob, the big mistake the 20% make is they spend 80% of their time until they get a little more refined and enlightened on trying to convince the 30%.
Yeah.
At a certain point you get in life,
guilty.
You realize that you need to just annihilate that 30%. Annihilate them because they will destroy the 50%. And in fact, they'll destroy your own 20% because the good people around you, instead of spending 90% of your time with them, you're spending all this time with a bunch of idiots.
Right.
You're actually shooting yourself in the head. Okay? So anyway, so what's emerged for us is it's been, you know, we have a global organization about 500,000 people, okay? At different stages of development on the outer concentric circle. Out of that, we have some people who say, yeah, they're serious. They take the program, the course, and they study like good engineering students. And then at the leadership level, we have a young guy, Nicholas Lupo. Nicholas is an electrician. I mean, he actually got all the books and studied it, right? Nicholas went on the ground and ran for president. He went and collected signatures in Kentucky. He realized, I got to go do something. He's collecting signatures, following the laws. The police show up in front of, I think, a Walmart in Kentucky, and they arrest him. He goes, I have every right. He reads them the law. They throw him in jail, strip search him, Rob, disgusting, and then steal his money in jail, the police. We write to Thomas Massie, who follows me on Twitter, and, you know, I have his DM. Massie doesn't do shit. This is in Kentucky. You know, constitutionalist. Rand Paul doesn't do anything. Anyway, we as a movement, we fought the lawsuit and we won. Now, out of that entire journey, here's Nicholas, who's just a working class electrician, who got interested. He's learned theory. He understands, and he teaches all of our courses now. He advanced, but that whole experience made him a hardened warrior. He realized no one's going to fucking come save him. You know, these so-called constitutionalists are bullshitters. All right? And like that, the quality of people we have now globally, the leader, and they're all over the world, from Australia to Finland to all over the world. We've set up infrastructure. We have our own data center. We have our own software framework. So no one has to build all this. And this framework allows people at the most unconscious levels to come to a certain level of consciousness, to learn more, and to develop themselves. And then these people become mentors and teachers, educating other people. So for example, you know, we got, you know, to get on the ballot in Massachusetts, you need 20,000 signatures. Well, people from all over the country showed up, Rob, because they get it. Now, what is the consciousness they have, Rob? And so what's interesting, that because of our training, they realize, oh, an election for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts is not a, you know, election in Massachusetts, because one senator like myself, if I can make it to the Senate, I would use that as a platform to affect, you know, you and I would be doing podcasts out of my Senate office, Rob.
Same thing, Dr. Shiva. That's what we're trying to do in Missouri. So we run a grassroots organization. We have political sway in what goes on in Missouri politics, right? We grassroots organizations from every corner of Missouri, and we communicate with them. And I keep saying, listen, one person is not going to change the system the way it works, but what it can do is expose the system. Just like you said, get in there and then start explaining to everybody what's going on. And just like you said, have the podcast from inside their offices. We're trying to do the same thing in Missouri. We're trying to make sure that people, if they can get elected, which, you know, I don't know how well these elections actually run, but if they get into a position of power within the Missouri government, that they're exposing what is going on versus trying to manipulate a system that is, in my opinion, clearly rigged.
So, Rob, the main thing that you guys would benefit, so you have a community, you have action, you need the right theory now, okay? Because the theory is what will always guide you. It's your North Star. So people don't get opportunists. You see, the problem is the establishment banks on opportunism. Let me repeat that again. The establishment banks on opportunism and people not being grounded in the theoretical framework. You see?
Yep,
so absolutely. For example, the next Thomas Massie that comes, and by the way, or the next Tulsi Gabbard, or the next James Tallarico, he's like the next, you know, the swarm keeps breeding these people who are opportunists. Because nowadays, when I talk about sensors in a system, with companies like Palantir, they are literally, they have a dashboard. I'm telling you right now, they can watch which words, which conversations are moving people away from them, okay? It was not in vogue to be anti-Zionist and call people Zionist cocksuckers even 3 years ago. But when I did that video and it went viral, I guarantee you they called up these opportunist podcasters and they said, okay, everyone now be anti-Zionist. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works. So nowadays they have data streaming to them. Oh, wow. Let's talk about Israel now. Okay, and let's bash Israel. Not that Israel should not, but these people bashing Israel have no intent in building a bottoms-up movement to actually end Zionism. they're bashing Israel because they get views and clicks. And they're promoted to bash Israel because they're not shadow banned, because they're doing nothing to end Zionism.
And isn't that obvious, Dr. Shiva? Because we talk about that. We're talking about it before the show started today. There are certain people that get these enormous, and I don't think they're that talented. That's what's so frustrating to me. They're not talented people. They don't have the gift of communication, but their profile grows exponentially on social media. Really talented people are trying to get something done. They don't go anywhere. There's nothing they can do, apparently, at least for what I see. And I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the people that I watch that I think are really talented. You, for example. You just can't get any traction on social media, which means somebody has to be algorithming you out of spreading a message.
So I think part of the understanding is to recognize this. Again, we teach this, right? The establishment creates a dialectic, left and right, Republican, Democrat. And if you're not on that plantation, okay? If you're not on that plantation, you are a threat. So in 2020, when I did all those COVID videos, right, exposing everything.
Watched every one of them. Right?
I mean, I added up all my video views. It was close to 2 billion unique views. That means 1 out of 4 people have seen my videos throughout the world. Just think about that.
Yep.
Okay? Now, the MAGA crowd thought that I was on their side. Okay? The medical freedom crowd thought I was with Booby fucking Kennedy. But I was my own person exposing the actual realities of what was going on. And these agents would try to sucker me into their plantation. And eventually I had to expose Booby Kennedy, expose Trump, right? But because I was not compromising, and I was saying, look, we need to build a bottoms-up movement. Trump ain't doing that. Trump is actually part of the swarm. Booby Kennedy was promoting lockdowns, right? And the medical freedom movement was like, why don't you work with Booby? You know, you and Bobby would make a great team.
You nailed that from the get-go.
Right,
you,
right. But I'm saying is,
and turned out
the money. But do you know how many people, if they didn't understand theory, would have gone with Booby? I would have been an opportunist, because it would have been very profitable for my fame and exposure, right? Because yep. I would have been in his camp. Oh my God, Dr. Shiva's our golden boy, right? Marla Maples' wife Trump's wife reached out to me. She was a big Booby fan, and she thought I was in his camp. She did videos with me. She goes, me and Tiffany love you, her dog. But I said, Marla, Kennedy's full of shit. She never called me after that. But the point is, this is the other lesson here, Rob, and I want people to listen to this carefully. This is why if I were them, I would shadow ban me. Let me tell you why. Because my life journey, because of where I came from, was never about compromising. The invention of email, let me tell you why that story is so dangerous. Even though I got 4 fucking degrees at MIT, have a PhD from MIT, won every award from MIT, was on the front page of MIT for many innovations, right? When the truth came out that I invented email in 2011, before I came to MIT, this is dangerous. Let me tell you why. It's dangerous because the journey to the invention of email took place by an individual who did not need to be anointed by the establishment. It was done on my own terms. I worked hard. I found this medical college to work at in Newark, New Jersey. You see, it was done independent of dependence on them. And even till this day, every one of my accomplishments, I do in spite of them. When I went to India and I was recruited by the Prime Minister of India to run the largest innovation center, my father-in-law said, shut the fuck up, you'll be Minister of Science and Technology. Even then, Rob, I couldn't capitulate because of the corruption I saw. So I have lived life on my own terms and still been successful. That story cannot come out because it says, yes, you can live on your own terms uncompromisingly and do well. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Right? So they don't want that story out. They want the story, you must suck Zionist cock. You must be a fucking trillionaire slave like Elon fucking Musk. The guy has not created anything. He's now the highest paid slave. Everything he does is done at the behest of the military industrial Zionist complex.
That's who funds everything. It all. Yeah, they fund it all.
So they want to laud him up as if you suck Zionist cock, we will make you a trillionaire. In fact, I did a graph if you look at the level of your score, how much you're dependent on government and Zionism, okay, on this axis, and your wealth, it goes up like this, Elon Musk being number one next to the Saudi prince, MBS, okay? So you cannot be a trillionaire or a billionaire at that level without being one with them. So these people, in many ways, are the highest paid slaves. But the difference is they're voluntary slaves. They're voluntary slaves who the establishment promotes. And then they have voluntary grifter slaves like Fucker Carlson, like Candace Owens, because that's why they're promoted, because they are not telling people that you can defy the odds and do it on your own. Personal responsibility, which is what made America truly great. These immigrants who came over, defied the odds, worked on their own terms. That's the real story that they don't want coming out, that you can, in spite of all the shit that's taken place in your life, you can still work hard, you can set goals, you can be disciplined, you can be dedicated. Now, they do this with sports stars, right? Oh my God, look at this sports star. He's so dedicated, you know, Beckham. And he, you know, he did this and they'll keep that because that's a distraction. But they do not want the story of the invention of email coming out because it says, like, I didn't need to fucking go to MIT to invent email.
Weren't you on the front of Time magazine?
Yeah. So that
I started to say that it wasn't you. I'm like, he's on the cover of Time. They already.
Yeah. It was in the online edition. And by the way, recently saw they took down that story.
Fascinating. Did they really?
After 20 years. Yeah. So the point is, they cannot have the story of an independent thinker, people independently, all those stories are being wiped out. So the reality is, it was independent, bottoms-up movements that have always changed the world, period. That story they don't want coming out, Rob, and that will be shadow banned.
I think that's absolutely true.
You see, so that's what's going on. So the core of what we teach is, A, it is movements that build the world, and then all the system science around that. So you guys are on the right track. You're doing these actions. You have a community, but you need the theory. So we have to figure out a way how your community can work together with Truth Freedom Health and get this theoretical framework. Because without that, people will always make these 1 degree differences. You know, 1 degree every 1 minute, the plane, instead of ending in San Francisco, ends up in Greenland, okay? And that's what's been going on. People keep compromising, right? It's been occurring since the 1970s. Oh, the Democrats will, the Republicans will, oh, Bernie will do it, Obama will do it, Trump will do it, right? So they keep going off course. Now Massey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, right? They're going to keep promoting people who are, and the biggest indicator is draw the axis, how many views and clicks you're getting, and draw the anti-establishment axis. How can you truly be anti-establishment and get that many views and clicks? And the answer is right in front of you. It has to be decentralized, bottoms up, and you have to have the right theoretical framework. And so that, you know, you guys were talking about our lawsuit, right? So my running for U.S. Senate is not with the aim of having illusions that we're going to win the election. But even if we win the election, it is not the further aim that we're going to use that position to somehow change the system. Okay? So we always tell people, my running for office gives everyone an opportunity to participate in the swarm's process. And out of that, what we learn, we expose, and we grow people. That's what happened in 2020. Because I ran for Senate again, and we're the ones who discovered that they flip votes on the machines. We're the ones who discovered that they delete ballot images. We're the ones then who discovered that when you tell people about it, the government has a backdoor portal into Twitter. Then we just, right? So if I didn't run, all of these victories would not come out. So I would say we were beyond victorious. They may have cheated my election, but we freaking cut them with 1,000 razor blades. Everyone now knows of the backdoor portal. And they also know that Fucker Carlson and Glenn Greenwald and all these people, even though they were told about that, didn't cover it for 3 years. It further tells them those people don't cover the truth. So you see all these realizations we're able to share now? In real time, these are like golden truths. They're like experiences people have. People in our movement, it raises their consciousness. So we win, man. We can't lose. There's no fucking way we lose.
Because consciousness, you told me this on the phone the other day, you said consciousness is the goal.
Consciousness right? is the goal. So a Nicholas Lupo, who came as an electrician, saw one of my, Nicholas, if you talk to him.
I would like to, by the way.
Yeah, Nicholas, you should have him on. Nicholas was watching Joe Rogan videos all day long. And then he saw one of my videos exposing Joe Rogan. And he said, wow. And he realized, I'm just sitting here after I come home from work, spending 3 hours watching Joe Rogan videos. What the fuck am I doing? This guy's out in the cold, handing out flyers and educating people. So Nicholas got the books on the theory of systems. And Nicholas really studied it. Like, he absorbed all of it. Then he went and handed out those, you know, flyers. And then he got arrested, right? Then he awoke so fast. His development was hyper exponential, right? So without going through that process, people really won't get it. And then we have other people during like 2018. I'll give you the other extreme. When I ran against Warren, only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian. And when I did all those videos on medical freedom, a lot of people came to me because they saw me as their savior. But they never studied the theory, Rob. So those people were around me, but we don't see them anymore. They were dilettantes. It was like cool to be around Dr. Shiva. Oh, Elizabeth Warren, right? But I keep telling them, you guys fucking didn't learn shit because you didn't study the theory. Yeah, it was cool and exciting to call Elizabeth Warren a fake Indian. It was cool to be, but you didn't study. So you took action. You're part of a community, but you didn't learn the theory. You see, a friend of mine is part of these constitutionalists. Oh, I'm evading my taxes. You know, I said, Jeremy, you're just going from one plantation to another. Okay. Doing those things to try to bring back the mechanisms of, you know, that thing and manipulating your tax returns is not going to lead to liberation for the masses of people. We actually have to recognize we live in the modern world. We have to build this bottoms up movement. So even some of these movements that people think they're doing something, Rob, it's about escaping, dealing with the front reality of the swarm. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
So they're trying to figure out some angle, like a con man. I'm going to con the system this way. You can't con the system. The beast is very, and I have another friend of mine, nice guy. Every week, the world is going to come to an end. Iran is going to blow. Every week is some fucking, because he listens to some right. guy. Right. Every week, Armageddon is going to take place. He doesn't understand the elites are very well organized. They're not stupid. They don't want to blow up the world. They'll bring us to the brink, tank the stock market, buy low and sell high. They're not going to blow up the world. They will make you think they're going to blow up the world. So you sell all your shares low and they're going to buy them high. So people need to understand there's not some quick fix. There's not some dramatic ending to the world. It is a problem that we need to understand the engineering in a very rational way. And our goal at Truth Freedom Health, just like, you know, I remember Nike brought out shoes and got people running or exercise. Our goal is, look, this is a framework. We created all these tools for you. Integrate this into your life, right? 1 hour, 2 hour a day. And we give you various actions that you can do. But now you're bringing in this active citizenship to raise your consciousness into your life. That's the goal, Rob. It's not going to happen overnight, but we have enough potent things that you learn. The acceleration, like a, you know, if you take a pot of water, like I was mentioning, the water doesn't just go to boil. It heats, and then at 100 degrees centigrade, it boils, right? That's a revolution. So it will occur, but it will not occur if we're not heating it with the right consciousness, you see? And it will take time. So that's why, you know, in the, I think, Isaiah, we were talking about, so when, you know, this time when we ran for Senate, we proactively filed a writ of mandamus, which is saying, hey, government of Massachusetts, you are deleting valid images, which is a violation of federal law. You better preserve them. So we went and put a poker into the bear. The bear reacted back very stupidly, because it didn't know, it just thought we had gone away. It didn't know that we're actually building a movement and we're persistent. It came back and he said, there are no ballot images, Your Honor. And it said, so there's nothing that we can do to save, a big lie. And then it went on to say, but in Massachusetts, we don't save ballot images because we want to protect the public. And then they somehow must have called up the judge, and they had the judge, even though the election is November 2026, right? They had the judge postpone the hearings, Rob, until 2028, November 2028, 2 years later. We have trained our team, Rob, to learn how to file lawsuits. So we immediately got together literally overnight, and we responded with four briefs. You can find them on the site. I think it's up online. And we wrote an opposition brief, a 19-page memorandum of law, and we demanded an emergency hearing to accelerate the tracking schedule. And lo and behold, the judge gave it to us. And I think the judge gave it to us because they knew it, the appeal would win and they would look like shit. So we went into the emergency hearing yesterday. We represented ourselves because we win when we represent ourselves. We bring in lawyers that are in collusion with the state.
Amen.
Yep. So we went in and we represented the facts. We educated the judge. Hey, look, a ballot image is always created when you put it to the machine. It is created in memory, no different than me open up my computer screen here and I start working on a Microsoft Word document. It's in memory, right? If I close the computer and I didn't hit save, it means it didn't put it on the hard drive, but it was in memory. It did get created. So they're going and telling the judge, oh, there was nothing created because they have turned off the switch to save it. No different than you not hitting save my document. So when the ballot, paper ballot goes through, an image is created in memory. It is the image that becomes the ballot because the image is what is used to tabulate the vote. And there's a software setting that says save the image or delete it. They've set it to auto delete, Rob. And they're telling the courts and the citizenry, oh, there's no image that was ever created. So we've caught them red-handed. They perjured themselves. And in fact, the Department of Justice under Biden, not Trump, clearly said that ballot images must be preserved pursuant to 52 U.S.C. 20701, which is a law that says all records in connection with the federal election must be preserved. Now, look at what we've done. No one else is fighting this. We are. We expose this. In fact, the team in Florida who won a case on this, when I called up the lawyer, he goes, oh, yeah, I remember you guys did this back in 2020. So whatever we do has an effect. And part of the thing that, Rob, we want to teach people is that the celebrity culture of thinking you go get a Botox, you don't get wrinkles, or you somehow put out a sex video and you become famous like Kim Kardashian. These are very, very, very ephemeral ways of quote unquote success. Real success, real values come from hard work over time, over and over again. So you're training a bunch of youth to think success is this very fleeting, ephemeral thing, one hit wonder. No, it's not, it's nothing. You don't build your moral character. You don't build a fiber. The noble goal is, do you advance as a human being in consciousness? You see? So everyone who comes to our movement and goes through this, they're winning. So our criteria for winning is not winning on their very, decrepit measures, right? Like winning a UFC fight or something, right? This is about, are you moving forward morally, intellectually, character-wise? So that is the quality of people that our movement is developing. But you have to have systems theory understanding. You have to have a proper community of people, and you have to take deliberate action, which advances your consciousness. So you almost have to be very strategic on what actions you take. So you're looking at, you know, advancing people up this path, you say? So
yes,
that's what's going on.
And I'm hoping we can join forces because I did.
Yeah, we should figure out a way. I mean, we have a great leader. We should figure out a way how everyone in your framework can get work with Truth Freedom Health, because we have people all over the country, you know? And our goal is to recognize what occurs through the world affects all of us. So we have, through our phone system we've created, we have someone in Finland, a woman who's a civil engineer, gets on the phone, makes calls to citizens in Massachusetts, and tells them to pledge their vote for Dr. Shiva. People said, oh my God, how's that going to work? She has a thick accent. No one will listen to her. Well, she's almost got 300 people to pledge. Okay? So we're saying this is a global movement. of raising people's consciousness, right? It's not in any one country. It's not in any one nation. Consciousness moves irrespective of space and time.
Do you think it's, because this is another just debate I have with people. They don't want you to suppress vote. They are so convinced that if you can, and I'm not even disagreeing, I'm going to get your opinion on it, that you're going to change this through elections and system. And I always say, well, I don't trust the election, so it's very hard for me to get, I get behind candidates or people that I like that I think are in it for the right reasons. I think they're trying to do the right thing. Do you think you can change this system through elections the way they are today? Do you think that's possible to do?
Well, it depends on how you do it, Rob. So first principle, again, like physics, gravity, right? First principle. The first principle here is it is self-organizing systems bottoms up that change anything significant. And if you consciously understand this dynamic, you can actually consciously become a conscious atom in the soup of consciousness, if that makes any sense, okay? So once you recognize that, it is a goal of expanding consciousness and creating these bottoms-up movements. If that's the goal, now within that context, you look at these tools, okay? Okay, protesting, an election, filing a lawsuit. You see, they're at the next level. We don't want to put them at the center. But if your goal is to advance people's consciousness, you say, okay, an election is coming up. What can I use that platform to advance this larger movement?
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying? I'm flipping
yep.
it.
Yep.
Okay. So in that sense, okay, I don't know if you can see. So look at, this hasn't been put out, but I'll share it with you guys for the first time. We have a cool flyer we're putting out, okay? And I'll give you the sort of, the understanding, okay? Let me bring it up here. So this is a flyer that I just developed, okay? And I enjoy doing these things because they're really educational pieces of work, no different than me developing a course at MIT. Can you see this here? I don't know if you can see this.
Yeah, if you email it to me, I can throw it on the screen.
Yeah, I can't send it out yet because it's not
a preview. Oh, no worries.
But you guys see that?
I see this.
It says, yeah. You are independent, okay?
Yes.
Okay, now it's done old school newsprint. You see that?
Yep, black and white.
Yeah, black and white. And it says, you are independent. 65% of Massachusetts is independent. And by the way, Dr. Shiva is independent. So why do we keep voting against ourselves? You see that?
Yes. We talked about it yesterday. I agree. I had no idea it was that high in Massachusetts because when I worked in Massachusetts, it felt very liberal.
Right. But it's 65% of Massachusetts independent. Okay.
Incredible.
And you can see, ultimately, you keep voting for these guys. Houses are unaffordable. Cost of living is going up, right? So the point we're trying to make is we're using this occasion to bring out this very powerful concept. Hey, 65% of Massachusetts has already decided, I don't want to be on the Democrat-Republican plantation. That's a head in the right direction, okay? But yet, you're the slave who decided you want to get off the plantation. The gate is open, but you're not willing to walk off the plantation. You still keep voting. Right. 90% of the independent voters still keep voting for the 35%. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So what we're saying is, wait a minute.
I think if you go for independence, you're destroying everything. I've heard this a million
times.
Yes. Rob, a third party. It never works if you do the third party. I'm like, well, I think there's only two parties, the independents and then the other party, which is the uniparty that makes you think there's two. But really, they work together, obviously, if you pay attention to it close enough. So really, an independent party would be just a second party, if you ask me.
Right. So what they're doing, Rob, is this is what the powerful thing is, right? They literally have created this invisible cage, right? And we could do a whole nother, we should probably do a follow-up on this, but here's the point. What they're doing is, so the extreme case is 65% of Massachusetts is independent. That means it's like the bird who's decided to open the cage. But the bird, the cage is open, but is not leaving the cage. It said it's registered independent. But why doesn't it leave the cage? And the only way that can happen, Rob, is the amount of behavioral engineering that they're doing.
Yes.
And that behavioral engineering, what I talked about, you can find it, is they're doing five particular tactics. And this is the engineering. So what they do is they pummel people over and over again. at every election, even though 65% are independent and here's an independent candidate, they say, you know what? This is the biggest election, Rob.
Ever.
If we don't vote for Republican, the world is going to be destroyed. Or if we don't vote for Democrat. So they make it this Marvel Comics, good versus evil, Armageddon. Okay? So what do you mean you're going to vote for Dr. Shiva? You're going to fuck up the vote, right? They make, so that's a fear factory, as I call it. Okay? That's one technique. So again, they're going down to the basis emotions. The next thing is once they got you in that, they go, you got to vote for the lesser of two evils. Yeah, that guy may be a pedophile. He may be banging everyone but his wife, but he's far better than this guy, you know, who was a Nazi criminal.
The borders open and trans.
Yeah, yeah. So both guys are filth. It's criminal A versus criminal B, but you're better off choosing. So what they've done mentally, Rob, they've lowered people's very high standards down to lowest standards between choosing dirtbag one or dirtbag two, right? So they use that. The third technique that they're, and again, this is engineered. They do media redlining, right? And what they're doing there is the media is complicit in this. In the debates, they don't include the independent candidate.
Right.
Right? They don't even include them in the polls.
Well, half of them won't debate, Dr. Shiva. Half of them won't even debate. The people that are winning don't debate.
That's what I'm trying
to say. The primaries, Trump didn't debate in the primaries. You have the woman out in Arizona who didn't debate. Right here, the governor of Missouri didn't debate. And all the people that don't debate win, which I find very interesting.
Byron Donalds isn't going to debate.
Donalds in Florida is not going to debate. They don't debate.
Right. And then the next thing they do, the other tactic is the last one that they do is the divide and conquer tactic, right? The spoiler matrix. Oh, my God, if you vote for an independent, you're wasting your vote, right? And then finally, they do the divide and conquer. They make a cultural war versus a real warfare, which is economic war, right? So they have gotten this. So that is the only way. I was thinking about this. Why doesn't the bird leave the cage? Because the bird is mentally held down in chains by these five techniques. And that is, so we have an opportunity to educate people on that. 65% of Massachusetts is independent. By the way, 54 million Americans are registered independents, 48%. The other 20-odd percent are Republicans and Democrats. So the majority are independents. So the slogan becomes, at a very deep spiritual level, like you've chosen that you want freedom. Now get the freedom you deserve. What's holding you down is this mental slavery. You see?
Yes.
And that is where, you see what I'm saying? Ultimately, it's consciousness, Rob. It's consciousness.
I got one more for you. I got one more for you because I got a guy coming on that I promised I'd get on. He's got it's Missouri politics, and I don't want to disrespect him. But I got one more question for you, and I'll give you a little extra time. What is behind this AI data center movement? He's talking about that. He's running for presiding commissioner in Washington, Missouri. Franklin County. And they are fighting against AI data centers, but the Republican Party, which runs everything in the state of Missouri, is, as I like to say, they open up your mouth and they're going to shove these AI data centers right down your throat, whether you like them or not. And people are protesting against them everywhere. There's a protest in Jefferson City, the capital of Missouri, right now. The Republican Party does not care whether you want AI data centers because they are going to put them in whether you like it or not. What is the deal behind it? Is this economic development? Is this something that we have to have or we fall behind China? Or is it something more sinister, which is what we all seem to believe in Missouri? What's your take on these AI data centers and this incredible movement to get these things implemented all over the country?
Well, Rob, you know, I have the three earliest patents on the first AI patents, okay? One of my first companies, Echomail, this is in the 90s, automatically used technology, automatically read and route email. I did it for the White House. So I built my first quote-unquote AI data center late 90s, okay? Look, the fundamental issue here is what is AI and who owns it? And it's about owning the compute infrastructure, okay? So the only difference between what you call AI and the AI of the 70s is that you can do more on a chip right now. And it takes a lot. And because you can do more, you need a lot of cooling, right, to cool these things. That's why they need all this water, okay? So the ultimate issue, again, if we study theory, let's go back to theory. It is bottoms-up movements, right? Whether it's AI, whether it's fire, whether it's nuclear power, whether it's the cell phone, right? Mm-hmm. The issue is Who is controlling these technologies? There are five major telco companies which control this. Solution for that is mesh networks. Okay, AI is centralized compute. There's nothing wrong with data centers, but it should be decentralized compute. Every local community should have their own compute. So the issue is not AI or compute, it's who owns this compute. The compute is centralized by probably three major companies. That's what it's going to come down to.
Amazon, Google, and who's the other one? You know?
Meta.
Meta. But my point is, like, when the internet first came, we were all building our own little websites. And then eventually four major companies consolidated. So this is what happens, and it's a longer conversation, I want to be mindful, is that whenever technology comes, people get very excited. It's a liberator for humankind. But because of the nature of monopoly capitalism, it ultimately gets consolidated into the few. So it's not that technology's bad, okay? The issue comes down to who owns the technology. And what's really cool is there's some really cool decentralized energy we could do. Every community should have their own decentralized compute, okay? Just like you can have decentralized power, decentralized mesh networks for communication. So as a technologist, there's two ways technology can go. Centralized, owned by a few, decentralized for the many. That's the real way to look at this. Otherwise, you know, people who don't know technology will get lost in this dialectic, and they're going to create a dialectic where those in power know how to own that drama, you see? And that's what's happening with the discourse on this AI data center needs to move to what I'm talking about from a systems approach. This is why it's really, really important to get training. Otherwise, people just create this farcical dialectic and they're going to lose always.
So these data centers, because I kind of agree with you on this, we're not necessarily against data centers. We're against how the data centers are going to be used by the people that will ultimately control them. Yeah.
Look, when the United States Postal Service was set up, it was a quasi-government organization. It was a technology infrastructure, so everyone could send a letter for pennies. Okay? The U.S. Postal Service is an amazing organization. This is why it's constantly under attack. Everyone's going postal. They want to bring it under the Department of Commerce. Because a letter, ultimately, if someone opens it, it's 22-year sentence in prison. This is why Trump is trying to destroy the Postal Service. There are infrastructures like that can be created, like mesh networks, where you can eliminate Vodafone, AT&T, T-Mobile. We can create a national network of the people by the people. No one can ever censor it. Because ultimately, even though you have a cell phone and I do, and I can build my own website, the link between me and you is owned by one of four telco companies. There's a way to decentralize that. You see, there's a way to decentralize power. That's where systems thinking takes you. The other thing takes you, oh my God, these guys are going to, you know, they're soaking up the water. It's much deeper than that. You see? So they're in the battleground of where the establishment wants you to fight. And they're always going to win that fight.
It certainly appears. Can you, Isaiah, put up truthfreedomhealth.com so people can kind of see it? Because we want to make sure that we thank Dr. Shiva for all the time. And then we'll get together, Dr. Shiva. We're going to work together.
Is that different than vashiva.com, Dr. Shiva?
If you go to truthfreedomhealth.com, that's a branded site people land at.
Okay.
Then you can take them to vashiva.com. And the last one is shiva4senate.com. Those three sites will give everyone everything what they need.
Gotcha. So we'll promote those. I'll get in contact with you later. We'll try to combine forces. We talked about maybe doing something together one day.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. And the cool thing is, Rob, we'll show you that we've done these. These are platforms, you see? So where we can collaborate and scale together.
That's really what we want to do. Okay. I mean, that's what I've been trying to do. If we can draft off of each other and get people more aware of what's going on and organize, I'm down with it. So
it'd be great to have Dr. Shiva join us in DC next time we're there. We should be coming.
Yeah, we can have these people in DC just a little bit. Dr. Shiva, we try to expose as much as we can. So I appreciate all your time, my friend. Right. You are fantastic. I'll be in touch with you
again. Guys.
You got it. Have a great day.
Thanks, bye-bye. Dr. Shiva.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to. and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is a not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is a not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com.
Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.